This is Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International, a non-denominational end times ministry dedicated to fulfilling a divine commission to trumpet forth warnings from God concerning the imminent second coming of Christ and the impending judgment of God upon the ungodly. God has sent Dr. Hansen to many nations of the world with a solemn warning to the political and religious leaders and citizenry to repent of their sinfulness and wickedness or face the catastrophic judgments that will soon be unleashed upon the unbelieving world. Listen now to the warnings of our compassionate and merciful Creator conveyed through His faithful prophetic spokesman, the host of Warning Radio, Dr. Jonathan Hansen.
Welcome to the program Warning with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, the founder and president of World Ministries International and Eagle Saving Nations. Today, we are going to share a message that was recorded October 31, 2009, at the Sabbath service where Dr. E.J. Buckhart shared the message, Steadfast Hope, Steadfast Faith, trying to help us through our human deficiencies. Now, let's begin.
The signs of the times are not good, and so we need to lift up our faith. We need to lift up our hope, lift up our spirits. As I thought about that, these songs, there's so much truth in these songs. But every one of them leads to one area, and it says, we can only be encouraged, we can only be strengthened, if we come in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. It's not of ourselves. And I tell you what, I'm not think I'm the only one, but in these past few months and stuff, that it's been a challenge to the faith. And sometimes we get down and say, woe is me. You know, we think the whole world's revolving around us. And it's not. It's revolving around the Lord and what He's trying to do to shake up the world and to bring us to faith in Him. But it's easy for us to get depressed, to get sad, to say, hey, I want to quit. I want to give up. I don't want to be in this battle anymore. But that only happens when we start to focus upon ourselves. So how in the world are we going to get hope? How in the world are we going to get faith? Well, the Bible tells us. It's in the Lord. And so many of these songs that we've been singing is just verify that. One of them is, and I didn't pick this one out. I think Karen picked this one out. Because He Lives. Now we sing this song. And I hope you sing it out of the heart and not from the lips. We can make the lips move with the heart not functioning properly. So we have to remember that. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Which means I can face today as well. And all fear is gone. Now, can we really say that in our hearts? To be honest with you, we all have fear, okay? If anyone in here says we don't fear things from time to time, I mean, maybe there's a saint of the Lord who is so glorified that they can say all fear is gone. I think that's a possibility. I'm not saying it's not a possibility. But I know within my life, I can say, you know, some of these things start to bring fear. But it's usually my focus is on things that involved myself or my family or my property or something like that, or trying to accomplish something worldly as opposed to putting it in on the Lord. And because He lives, all fear is gone. And because He lives, I know He holds the future. And my life is worth living. Hey, your life is worth living. And that's each and every one of us, okay? This isn't just giving to the special men and women of God. It's giving to each and every one of us. Amen. Life is worth living, but you got to get the focus off yourself. You've got to get the focus off yourself. And then it's worth living. Why is it worth living? What's the last line it says? Because He lives. What's different with Christianity than any other religion that's out there? We've got a Lord who died, rose again, and He's alive. Big difference. He's alive. And He's not alive just so you and I can get to heaven. He's alive so we can have a wonderful, bountiful, full, beautiful life. Yes, amen. With peace and joy. in our lives. Now, we were talking about that book when Pastor Peter was here on the interview, before the interview, after the interview, and we talked about the class, and we have the book, and I was trying to think of the name of it, and I kept saying Living by Faith, but it's actually Faith to Live By. And I started thinking about that last night and this morning about this course. And everybody's read the book so far, says it's a great book. So, but it's a book, and if we don't put it to practice, our joy will stop very quickly. But living by faith is one thing, and I think faith to live by, it says something a little bit different. It's a faith that God gives us so that we can actually live by it.
Amen.
Living by faith, it makes sense too. We live by faith, but I like the way the book is written that Derek Prince says is faith to live by. And this falls into what we're saying here. I was going to close at the end of the program with 42, the last one on this last song, says, God will make a way. Now, how many here think you need to have the Lord make a way for you? Things are to the point that you don't know how it's going to go, right? Now, this is written by man's word, but it's also scripture based. God will make a way when? When there seems to be no way. You know, you've heard everybody talk about it. If I can do it myself, I don't need God. In America, we're living in a culture, at least in Western society, where we're saying, we don't need a God. We can do it ourselves. We fail to realize the reason we're able to do and have what we have is because God gave us the ability to do it. If God hadn't given us the ability to do it, we wouldn't have what we have. So we have to thank God for giving us the ability to have a strong mind, to be able to reason, to be able to think, to be able to work with our hands and our feet, to talk and speak. And that's what gives us the ability to do what we do. Well, that's where we get into the blessings and the cursings of Scripture. If you follow me, the Lord says, I will bless your nation. If you don't follow me, I will not bless your nations. And now the problem that like pastors trying to get across and other men and women of God is they're trying to get this country to say, hey, there was a reason why this nation was blessed. And it's not because of our human ability to do it. It was because our founding fathers and people turned to the Lord and tried to do things the Lord's way, and the Lord blessed this nation. But at the same time, the cursing can come. I mean, how many times you read in the Bible that the king was a great king, he did the ways of the Lord, but at the end, he kind of failed. And I think that's a warning to us, is that, yes, you can be on fire for the Lord for many, many years, and to the point to where I think you start to think that it's you and not the Lord that's doing it, and you start to fall away. And we have to be careful not to do that, because the enemy is the one that's going to bring that thought into your mind. And we can see, I can see daily, how the enemy is attacking strong, powerful ministries in men of God and women of God to try to bring them down. And I see it all the time. And I have to catch myself and say, hey, be careful. This is the enemy trying to take you down or take your ministry down. Because it comes into pride and all this sort of stuff. Your feelings get hurt. Things like that. And the Lord will use that, and He will do it all the time. So we got to understand that we're really not fighting human flesh and blood. We're fighting powers and principalities. That's what we're out there fighting. Anyway, let's get to what I was going to do. I'm going to be becoming like a pastor. Well, now let me get back to where we're going to get. I'm going to read the scripture. It's going to be Romans 5, 1 through 11. And actually, when I get done reading it, this, I'm going to read it with emphasis on certain words because I'm actually taking a lot of stuff from David Wilkerson's, actually a very old newsletter, and it's going to be on steadfast hope and steadfast faith, trying to help us through our human deficiencies. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, and that's who we want to have peace with, through Jesus Christ. So it's not through ourselves. Okay, by whom also we have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, not in my hope, but in the hope of the glory of God. And not so only, but, now listen to this, this is what we don't like, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. How many of you pray for patience? Amen. Do you know how you're going to get it? So just before, again, you know, before you quickly to raise your hands and say, hey, I want to pray for patience all the time. Remember the cost of discipleship. I mean, I know a man that said, Lord, I do not want to go to Japan and be a minister. He's ministered 50-some years in Japan. You know, he had, he wanted to go to China, but he never got there. He ministered in Japan. So when you pray, make sure you count the cost, because if you want patience, it's going to come through tribulations. And patience will lead you to experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Once again, none of this is coming by our own capabilities. And here it says it's coming by the Holy Ghost, through Christ. In other words, remember, that's where it comes from. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Have you ever felt you've been ungodly, or you're pretty righteous? Okay. Christ died for the ungodly. That means he died for every man, because every man has fallen because of the sin. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, not by my works and not by my strength, by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Our joy is in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. So that'll be the basis for part of the message. Remember that we can only come to this peace and this joy in the Lord and not of ourselves. Jesus Christ had a very sacrificial love in God, that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You've heard the story many times, but it has tremendous meanings. But sacrificial love is something that our generation needs. And why do we need that sacrificial love? Stop to think. Why is there so much drinking, so much alcoholism, drug abuse on the rise, and why are there so many suicides? The answer is simple. People are hurting. This is what happens when people hurt. They turn to something to try to solve their hurts. There is a sin sickness around the world, and many people are facing empty days, anguish nights, sleepless nights, because they find something that they can't trust in. So where do they turn? Where will they find someone who can show them love? We do not live in this earth by ourselves. We have people. So where do we turn for someone? Where do they turn to find someone to show them hope? The hurting and bewildered people of the world aren't going to turn to people who question their own faith. They're not going to turn to people who have no solid foundation in the Lord. And we need to be strong, is what it's saying. If we are to be hope to others, if I am to be a hope to you and you give me hope, we have to have a strong sense of hope, a strong sense of faith, and be solid in what we believe. Now, even though you and I may be very, very strong in our faith and in our hope at times, there's going to come times where we call them the crying times. Now, as men, you don't know when we cry, the women. Women will cry a little bit easier. Men usually cover it up. But every man of God cries. I know. And so there are going to be times when you're crying. And even the godliest Christian can be overwhelmed by sorrows and trials. When you go through temptations or trials and tribulations and persecutions, there's going to be times when you're going to be totally overwhelmed. And for many, that personal pain has grown so powerful that you succumb to weariness and you come to almost feel hopeless. Yet, a saint of God, in midst of all of this, they continue to cry out to the Lord, and in their grief, they lay hold of the Father's comforting promise. And they daily rise up again, and the fight goes on with their renewed faith. So, if you get to the point where you feel down and unworthy and can't go in the battle anymore, Lord, you go to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll stand on your promises." Because believers do not quit.
That's right.
Believers do not quit. They trust not in themselves, but they trust in the Holy Spirit to keep that light of faith burning. It's not for themselves, but it's for Jesus Christ, and it's for the love of the church and the love of the lost. So when you kind of get down in that point where my pity party starts to take over, okay, start to think about other people who may not know the Lord, who needs the Lord, and you may be the only one that's going to be able to present it to them. And let the Lord lift you up and say, "Hey, I got a job for you. You're not done. Forget about yourself. You're supposed to be dead for yourself. You're supposed to have taken up the cross anyway. And so your life no longer means anything. And let's go out there and do what I've called you to do." Now, steadfast hope. We just talked about how the whole world is really yearning for not just hope, but a steadfast hope. That means a hope that doesn't fade, that continues. It's something that will last for a long time, and that's what they're looking for. So we need to have something that we can set our feet firmly on, that steadfast hope. There's books written, sermons preached, like I say, on all of this. And you read it, you get your spirits lifted up, you say, "I can make it, it's going to get me through it." But then some hardships come, some trials come, and we need something to get us through. And so when you read the testimonies of many of these people who have had trials, it really gives your faith a lift. Read the story of the Book of Martyrs or talk about the martyrs, and man, it really gives you a lift. I mean, you just want to be with that strength and that faith that they give you. But when the trials come again in your life and you start looking inwardly, you kind of lose that hope. And why is that? Hope is not a feeling. Usually when we get depressed or down the dumps or things like that, it's because our feelings are telling us, "Man, you're hurting." It's a feeling. And remember that true hope and true faith is not built on faith. It is on what? It's on Jesus Christ, okay? Amen. It's in Him. It's in Him. It's in Him. We sang the song. It's in Him. Now, Paul, in Acts 27:20, don't look it up, but this is when he was out in the sea and the hurricane winds were blowing out there, made a comment that says, "All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Now, remember, that he's on a ship with a bunch of other people. But all hope was taken away. They knew that ship was going down. And even Paul wrote to in the church in Thessalonians, "Sorrow not even for the world which have no hope." But God's people, if you go into Hebrews 6:18-19, "For God's people, hope is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." An anchor of the soul. What did Paul tell them to do? To throw the anchor out, wasn't it? To steady the ship. And then let go. That's the anchor. If you've ever been out in a boat in a storm, and that boat's going all over the place, and you have no more way to control it, even with both engines running and doing whatever you've been, I've been there, if you throw out the anchor and steady the boat, it'll just go around the anchor. It'll go into the wind, and you're fine. You're safe. So that's what they mean by the anchor of the soul. And Paul prayed in Romans 15:13, he says, "Now the God of hope, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So the God of hosts gives us the abundance of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to have a steadfast hope, it has to have the involvement of the Holy Spirit. The power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are vitally important to our life so that the fruits of the Holy Spirit can be there. So how do we abound in hope, as Paul prays for us to do? How do we rejoice in hope? And how do we obtain the assurance of that? In short, the path to hope begins with being fully assured that we are right with God. There must be a maturing of hope in our walk with Jesus. And how does that come? It comes through spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in fellowship with believers who are right with the Lord to encourage and strengthen us. There's an old hymn, and we sung it, and I want you to turn to that. It's on 24A, page 4. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When darkness veils his lovely face. Now here's when feelings can get in the way, when there's a dark cloud that comes over and we feel that God is not here. Where are you, Lord? I prayed and prayed, you're not here. There's a veil of darkness. When the veil covers his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. That's a promise of the Lord. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the overwhelming flood. That's when we're going through those trials and those tribulations. That is when he supports us. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And when he shall come with the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. How do we stand faultless before the throne of God, we who have sinners? The blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us the right to stand before his throne. The fact is that you can have no settled peace, no true hope, until you no longer waver about your acceptance in Christ. Once again, you can have no settled peace, you can have no true hope, until you no longer waver in your acceptance of Jesus Christ. The acceptance is based not on what your flesh accuses you of being, or what the devil accuses you of being, and he will come and accuse you over and over again. It is based solely on what God sees you to be in Christ, covered and washed by his blood. In Romans 5:10, that's one of the verses there, it says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Now our hearts will come and condemn us. Now, that's not a bad thing. If we've sinned, the heart will condemn us. And that's the purpose of that. But John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So when the heart condemns you, we go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Now he goes on here saying that when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples just before he was going to go to the cross, he said, you may wonder, how could Jesus save the disciples? They were clean. If you look at the 11 men that he had spoke to, they've already displayed pride, unbelief, selfishness, covetousness, ambition, inconsistency, vindictiveness. I mean, all these things what we've done. And yet Jesus says, you're clean. That's what he told his disciples, you're clean. Because he had put them on the path of holiness. And it was all by his grace. Yet Jesus' answer for all of us is being justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now that we have the peace, we know it's all in the Lord, then comes the point in Romans that it says, but the path to hope leads to tribulation and affliction. If Christ is in you, you will be a partaker of his sufferings. But he also says, right, in 1 Peter, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice in your sufferings. And Paul says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, rejoice in suffering. This has got to be one of the hardest sayings, I think, is in Scripture, to be able to rejoice in suffering. And not only, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, the humanly thinking, I think this probably does not make much sense to anybody. In spite of the situation that appears to be utterly hopeless, we can still believe that God will provide a way. And what was the song we said? We sang the song. How does the song go? Oh, God will make a way. Where there seems to be no way. We've heard the message many, many times that says that when God works the best is when you are totally out of control and you have to rely on Him. And this is not the way the human mind wants to operate. We want to be in total control at all times. But if we are total in control, we don't need the Lord. Well, at least we don't think we need the Lord. And so the Lord has to bring us to the position to where we need the Lord. So when trials and tribulations come to us, and they will, remember that's when the Lord can best use you and reach you and speak to you and develop you into men and women of God. So if Christ is truly in us, He's going to lead us into this path. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is to make our hope to be more than just a theological phrase, head knowledge. You know, we can sit down and read the Bible and believe everything it says, but if it really hasn't gotten into our heart, it's not going to mean that much. So this is the way Christ can get our attention. And so it's not just a theological phrase, but He wants us to have a hope that is steadfast, with a sure foundation underneath it. And in short, our hope is to be Christ in us, working in us. Now, David goes through the Romans 5, 1 through 11, and he has 5 points he makes here, which I think are real good. He says, the first one, there is complete trust in being justified by Christ's blood. It's through His blood that we are saved, our sins are forgiven. So we can have complete trust in that. Second is a confidence that sets our souls at peace. Because of that, it sets our souls at peace. Third, that we can have the confidence that we have access to God's throne at any time. So therefore, He will hear our prayers and He will answer our prayers because we have access now to His throne through the blood of Jesus. Matter of fact, when the veil was split at the crucifixion of Christ, the veil was split. What was behind the veil? The holies of holies. It opened up the holy of holies, so not just the priest comes in once a year, but we have now direct access to the throne of God. Fourth, that we can rejoice in the glory of heaven that is ours to come. And fifth, we can glory in tribulations. It's one thing to rejoice in the hope of heaven, but it's something entirely different to rejoice in tribulations. It becomes possible, not through the human mind, but only those who believe what God's Word says about suffering. That is, Christ is at work in us in the midst of every trial. Remember, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Now, he goes on, he says that God uses people to dispense hope. In other words, we're not lone rangers out there. You know, we have Christian brothers. We have Christian sisters. When you have difficulties, when you are down in the dumps, when you are depressed, you don't go to your... Well, I better be careful how I say this. Yes, you do go to the Lord, but you can also go to your brothers and sisters and ask for help. He gives an example of a man who calls, whose wife had Lou Gehrig disease, and he had to go through this whole struggle with her. And he said that, you know, how hard it was, because some people will say, just hang in there, just trust God. And he says, that doesn't work, because it doesn't work. But he says, after he talked to this man, at the end of his comment, he says, God is good. He's seeing me through this. And this is when he came up with the word, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. We've all met people who have gone through some real tough situations. And Grandpa Hansen is a good example. I mean, he was always happy with the Lord. In other words, when people pray for him, he'd turn around and pray for you. And he was the one that was in need, but he didn't end up praying for you. I mean, that is what you want. That type of a joy, which can only come in knowing the Lord. When you know that Lord, then you can have that. You say, it's well with my soul. It's well with my soul. To have a steadfast faith, David said that he, you know, Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3, and I've added Deuteronomy 4 also. So it says, this is what the Lord was telling his people. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. This was their time of living in the wilderness. He said, for 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna. Now, even though they hungered, they did get fed with manna. That thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that the man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. You can live on the promises of God, and God's not going to let his people starve. He did not let his children of Israel, people of the Hebrew children, starve in the wilderness. He fed them, supernaturally fed them. So he's not going to let you die of thirst or of lack of food. He's already showed that he did that to his people. Okay? He knew what exactly was necessary to deliver his people. So in other words, we can have the promise that God will see us through. In Jesus' words in the New Testament, he will meet your needs. What we need to do, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and comfort us in our trying times. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, and without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and the outpouring, the strength of the Holy Spirit daily, none of us would make it. It's basically that simple. No human determination, no setting of our mind to the task can survive the daily testing that we need to endure. So daily, we must cast ourselves upon God's Word and trust the Holy Spirit to make it become life to us. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. It's out of Psalms 33:6. If God created all things with his word and his breath, will he not, in his time, speak hope to you in your trials? He knows just how to bring such hope, real and lasting, sure and steadfast. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently with him. Psalms 37:7. So, how do we get this steadfast hope, this steadfast faith? It is in Christ himself and in the power of his Holy Spirit, not in ourselves. So, when those times come in our lives, and they will come, we need to turn to the Lord and not turn to ourselves. That's the key. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, trusting and knowing that the Lord will care for his people. And when you have this type of a faith, you can now be a help to those out there who have no hope. We want to be of a help to those who have no hope. You have friends, relatives, people you work with that are struggling and have no hope. So we have to have that strong faith, that strong hope, to be able to help them. And they will see that in you. And this is where, when we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we will see the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In other words, those people will see that, and that is what they want. What is it that brings that joy and that peace and the hope to you? That is what they're looking for. And the answer is Jesus Christ. There's where we have our hope. So once again, Karen and I, of course, worked, well, she did most of the work on these hymns. I have nothing against all this new music to a certain degree, but these hymns that speak the Word of God, and so I kind of encourage us when we worship, really, these words, I mean, I'll read these words when she's preparing in the morning, the evening before, the words that you have, and go through those words. And they are lifting up. These people have wrote these things, it came out of their heart and out of Scripture. And we need to start believing what we say. We need to believe what we think, because we've been taught properly the Word of God. And now we just have to believe it and to start seeing it. And we've seen miracles in this ministry. So we know miracles are real. We know God is real. But like the man who died and wanted Lazarus to come and speak to his brothers, raised from the dead to come, and he says, "Nah, that won't work," Lord told him, "that won't work. Even if a man raised from the dead, that's not going to do it." So we can see miracles. And at the time, it really builds you up. And then a little bit later, well, the miracle didn't happen to me. I prayed for someone, I didn't see it, so I think the Lord is not with me. No, that's not the way it works. You continue to pray, and you will see the miracles. God will use it in His way to accomplish His goal. And what is our goal in life is to be doing the will of the Father and let the Father work in us and through us. So we do, we lay on the hands, we pray, and we watch for God to do what God will do. I mean, I personally have one person I know very well that I laid hands and prayed for him. This wasn't one of the times that I really wanted to do it, but I did it. And I found out a year later, he was totally healed. I didn't find out about a year later. So it's the Lord saying, hey, even though you prayed for someone, you've laid hands on to them, you didn't see it, the Lord healed him. It was instant, but I didn't know it. So how do you know if you've been praying for someone, laying hands on them, praying for them, that they haven't been? You don't know. So do you stop praying for people? Do you stop witnessing to people because they didn't come to know the Lord or they turned on you or whatever? No, you don't. You don't look at the outward immediate reactions, because God works in different ways. So don't give up. You know, young people, you're going to testify to your friends about Jesus and you get laughed at. But you know, that testimony that you gave will probably bring that person to the Lord. Matter of fact, chances are pretty good it will. Because if you're faithful, the Lord will be faithful. I don't think we need to question the Lord's faithfulness. We've got to question our faithfulness. And so once we do what we're called to do, you know, be faithful in that word. Be faithful in that, because we know God will be faithful.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made-for-television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.